its member states sitting down routinely and regularly, reviewing human rights progress. This is fantastic because it embeds responsibility for human rights fully in the international community as a community of member states, which reinforces individual member states' responsibility for human rights. And it does it, it hopefully does it from a more evidence-based approach than political differences or similarities only.
Okay, and at this session, the 33rd session in Geneva, you've got 30 or so resolutions which have been put together by various blocks, various voting blocks. One of those is going to be on the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, sanctions have just been announced against two senior members of the government there by the United States. How do you view these sanctions from a human rights perspective? What sort of multilateral influence can the Human Rights Council bring to improve the situation there?
Now, the US announcement of their decision to put sanctions in place for certain individuals in the government of DRC and in the military is a very interesting decision by the government, but it's not a decision of the Human Rights Council. And the underlying question is, what is your theory of change? And our interest is to say, please, member states, find the human rights pathway that will guarantee the best results for those who are most at risk of their rights being violated, the people of DRC.
And you do this with dialogue with states. That's the sort of motto of the council, isn't it? You don't do things unilaterally. It's a multilateral process. You have countries which talk, they amend resolutions, they might not like the resolutions, you might have a counter-resolution, but at the end of the day, you're looking for consensus. How are we on that process? And maybe let's look into another issue of the involvement of other blocs, such as the South American group, who promoted at this session the resolution on the protection of indigenous people's rights. And there's also the not-so-small matter of the LGBTI, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender special rapporteur to protect their rights at the last session. Now, that was promoted by the South American group.
I mean, we have in the council a sort of a petri dish of all the political dynamics of the world. You know, there's a 47-member council representing all the regions of the world, and actually countries campaign to become part of the council and be elected upon it. That's a great thing. But it is in and of the world. So everything you would expect to see in terms of the a variety of positions on issues to do with Indigenous people, on issues to do with sexual orientation, on issues to do with women, on issues to do with freedom of religion and so on. All those dynamics are in the chamber of the council, and it makes it very real. It makes it extremely dynamic. You're never quite sure where the conversation necessarily will go. And it makes it important that we keep reminding and make available for member states the advice on what the international law standards are, so that we don't find ourselves arbitrarily inventing standards that are in contradiction with international law. That's an important thing that our office does. On Indigenous people's rights, Indigenous peoples across the world, including in my country in Australia, often people living in the worst of circumstances. So that this council is engaging itself with that, and member states are identifying that there is a need to radically transform the way Indigenous people can access their rights is fantastic. It's one of the things of which we can be proud. And on the another example, also in a very different way, but nonetheless another group that is at risk of being left behind, despite every country in the world sitting at the table of the General Assembly last year and promising to leave no one behind through the Sustainable Development Agenda, there's another important sector of society that consistently is excluded from access to services, from participation in public life, from freedom of expression in the LGBTI community. Fortunately, the council is becoming braver and braver in upholding the rights of people of diverse sexual orientation and diverse gender identity. And, you know, it's an important point. Human rights are not an endorsement. Like, you don't have to like me to uphold my rights. I don't have to approve of your conduct to uphold your rights. Human rights are for all of us, to the exclusion of none of us, for the best and the worst of us. And that's the message that we keep putting before the council. And the council constantly, in every session, has the opportunity to reaffirm that, unpack it so we understand public policy implications of that standpoint, and make sure then that they're accountable for the promises they keep.
Right, that's...
Whether they're keeping the promises they make.